But first, I'm happy to welcome to the program Mark Clipsham. Mark's an architecture, and also he's been supportive of this program, and that's very much appreciated. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, how do you do that? Also a builder, active builder.
That's right, an active builder and architect. I can say both, I believe.
Yeah, not many people can pull the wool over my eyes. They're like, no, that's not true. And I must warn people, I am under the influence of allergies a little bit today. Man, the mightiest person falls to the smallest thing.
The smallest grain of pollen. And there are people who've never experienced spring allergy season who are getting a taste of it. And one impact of climate change, of course, is that pollen season lasts longer.
Yeah. So,
anyway, let's skip that conversation. We might have more on that sometime.
A real quick one, too. Yeah. I didn't know what a migraine was until the super bright headlights came out either. I could have gone my whole life without experiencing that and been just fine.
Oh, so, yeah, I'm sorry you had to. Oof. Hey, so anyway, as a businessman, I'm interested in your take on the Trump tariffs, which changes from day to day. Now, as we sit here and talk about this, of course, the tariffs are mostly focused on China and what are about 147%, I think. Who knows where it's going to go? But just your take as a business owner on what's going on with this tariff stuff.
Ed, I would really welcome some conservative stability. I think that's what conservative is supposed to be about. This reminds me very much of back in the day, my mom would drive with 2 feet, one on the brake, one on the gas. And the problem is people forget which is which. No, that's exactly what's going on here. And tariff seems to be a wonderful obfuscating term for taxes because it sounds like we're doing it to them when in reality it's us. And as we discussed earlier, where does all this money go? Like I said, there's federal taxes, state taxes, that goes into a certain pool. Where does this big chunk of tariff tax money go to? And usually it's earmarked for stuff.
You know, I haven't heard that discussed. That's a really good question. Where does or will it go?
I mean, there's the government office accounting and that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, so we have all this, and they don't say, we're talking trillions of dollars, and that tax, I'm pretty sure that money is being collected to keep the Senate, Congress, and those people happy about deficit. So to fund tax cuts for the, I'm going to use the word, filthy rich, and the middle class and the lower class are paying that. They're the ones who are hit by the quote-unquote tariffs, which is taxes, our taxes. And in essence, Mr. Trump is legislating from the Oval Office because that's supposed to be the role of Congress.
So, you know, there's a really interesting angle to this, too. If you remember the Trump tariffs in the first term, for the first Trump term, and how those hit our farmers here in the Midwest and other places pretty hard. And so to respond to the pain that the farmers were experiencing, since Trump reminds us that he loves farmers and they love him, there was a big bailout. There was all kinds of money that came their way. And there was an analysis done of that. And basically, it was a wash. You know, whatever revenue might have been generated from the tariffs was basically spent helping out the farmers who had been hit by it.
Momentarily, we lost entire markets.
Sure,
good point. And they did not come back. They said, these other countries said, okay, fine, we'll do that. No, the fallout is immense. And as a builder, one of the tariffs is on steel. By the way, that was after very few people understand this, when Russia invaded Ukraine or whatever you want to call that. They're the suppliers of coke, not that kind of coke, the kind that makes steel.
Right.
That caused an incredible increase in steel prices, not through tariffs. And then, I mean, it's just kind of out of the blue. And then along come the tariffs. It's like, wow, you know, a 200% increase for something so many industries have to have. It's got to hobble the economy and people's dreams. You know, I was going to build a house. I was going to expand my business, you know, with a new steel building or something like that. Like, well, not now.
I imagine you use a lot of steel.
In that I build with two components, grain bins, that structure foam. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're the guy who converts grain old grain bins into homes, which I think is so cool.
Yeah, well, and high performance, no maintenance, recyclable, incredibly disaster resistant. This is exactly what we need right now. And you're just starting to, and someone throws a chunk of wood in front of you. And
yeah.
Not only me, but that encompasses innumerable businesses.
So the tariffs, the tariffs result in a much higher price for steel. You pay the price, you get your steel, and don't you simply just pass that on to the homeowner, the person who maybe you're building a new home for?
Well, I don't buy it. They buy direct. But yeah, that it folds into their cost. As it were, this particular season, you know, I saw it coming. I pay attention to the news. I said, hey, guys, if you're going to do this year, even August this fall, get a down payment on it, lock in your steel price. And that's what a lot of people do. If they could, they've already done that. The manufacturer I use, they're 4 months out. Three crews a day, 24 hours a day.
Right.
They're just swamped. Yeah. And who knows? The tariffs might come off tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Off and on. Who knows? And who? I mean, it's interesting that Russia is kind of unaffected by all this. but you know, our allies and Canada and Mexico and China in particular. But yeah, who knows where it's going to go? But you know, I'm really interested in what our Senator Chuck Grassley is proposing because. You know, I used to admire Chuck Grassley for being an independent thinker. In fact, I voted for him once because of a series of independent actions he took that were, you know, not part of the Republican playbook and not expected, and took some courage. And so now, you know, there's been a long hiatus between him him showing courage and this current action. But the current action is that it would require, you know, that it would give Congress a role in approving a presidential proposed tariff, and I'm thinking, okay, good. But I know that a lot of Republican senators who are just totally in line with President Trump aren't going to support it. But what do you have any thoughts on that proposal?
I was just waiting for you to stop.
Oh, okay, I stopped.
That's the role of Congress. That's their job. This guy, I'm scared. I'm being very glib. He's got an executive order pad. I think he's probably on his fifth or sixth one now. That's temporary stuff. It, you know, that's not really what it's supposed to be for. Congress is supposed to do that. And by the way, the another part of conservative is you're not accelerating and breaking. It's this conscious, measured activity you do over time, and you know people know what's going on, and everybody's like, you know, you tell people, guys, this is what we're going to do. You don't just do it. It's so disruptive. And once again, the antithesis of conservatism. I don't get where Republicans aren't conservative. It seems like the Democrats are more conservative at this point.
Well, yeah, depends what you mean by that. But yeah, I mean, this clearly, I mean, what Trump's doing is clearly not quote conservative in terms of economic policy, and you know,
it's radical rapid change, which
yeah.
is the opposite of conservative. Like, yeah. Don't call yourself that. That's not what you are.
So, I mean, Trump is basically trying to preempt the role of Congress in determining policy. Here's Grassley trying to suggest that maybe Congress still does have a role. It'll be really interesting to see if that ever comes up for a vote, and if so, how Senate Republicans will vote on it. But, you know, also in line, I mean, well, we've also got the judicial branch, you know, which again, Trump is trying to basically override every other check and balance in government. And, you know, now, of course, blaming judges for being, quote, activist judges because they aren't going along with what Trump wants to do. To me, there's a corollary there in terms of how policy is being decided. And
that's exactly it. The Congress doesn't have to vote for this tariff thing. That's what's so ironic about it. That is their role and their power. He has usurped that with the executive order. That shouldn't be. I don't think that's what executive orders are supposed to be for.
Yeah.
So then with the judicial, same thing.
There have been plenty of rulings against Trump by the courts, and he's thumbed his nose at a bunch of them. Most recently, and perhaps most egregiously, is this man from Maryland who was accidentally scooped up in the in the targeting of this Venezuelan gang, and sent to El Salvador to this horrible 40,000 person prison in El Salvador. And the judge says, yeah, well, the courts say, yeah, you got to let him out. You got to get him out. And of course, and of course, Trump says, well, it's not in my power. It's up to the up to El Salvador to let him out. And what does El Salvador say? Well, we can't pull it off. I mean, at what point do other authorities have to come into play and say, hey, Mr. President, you are violating the Constitution?
It's a business deal. That's the part that kills me. And by the way, there's nobody coming back on these planes. They paid El Salvador to house these prisoners.
$6 million so far. $6 million.
Yes, this is a business deal. Okay, hey, we shipped the wrong thing to you. You need to ship it back. You remember the guy had protected status. El Salvador had a target on him. Trump delivered him into the mouths of wolves or hyenas. Yeah. Supposedly the most powerful. So he can exert all this power on China and quote-unquote get him to the bargain, but he can't do that. Yeah. He's talking about invading Greenland, taking over Canada, and you can't get one person back?
Yeah, well, and
it makes him look pretty impotent to me.
Yeah, and he can also occasionally get the imprisoned person back from, say, Russia.
Yeah.
But you can't get this one guy out of El Salvador, despite the order of the courts, you know?
With all the cocaine and stuff on the planes coming back, there's no room for that guy is what it is. I mean, whoops. Oh, God, I said, I'm sorry.
All right. Hey, so, you know, I mean, at what point are Trump voters going to say, you know, maybe this is not quite what I voted for? I mean, the terrorists are a great example, but also this this thumbing one's nose at the judicial power. I mean, court rulings that are just being completely ignored. I would think that conservative voters, the people who voted for Trump, might give them some pause to say, hey, this is not what I voted for.
And this, I'm going to jump in here. This is a baby in bathwater thing. He's Loki, the Norse god of chaos. We needed that. Things were getting calcified. They talk about things for years. Nothing happens. He comes in full of the China shop, wrecks stuff up. Well, first off, yes, it needs to be changed. But once again, there needs to be a certain amount of diplomacy and decorum so everybody can kind of know what's going on. And yes, it needed to be shook up. Also like Neo in the Matrix. You know, this thing goes along, and you need someone to come in and mix it up. But at some point, it causes more damage, and to the very people, the role of the government is to protect the people and the population. This is going to hurt us, and very likely for a very long time. The only reason you impeach a president or anybody in elected office is they're not acting in the role of that office. This is not presidential. I don't know what it is, but it's not that. So he's mixed up two things. Yes, we need a change, but not destructive change.
But most of the MAGA universe is still falling in line and saying, yeah, we voted for Trump. We love what he's doing. I mean, I listen to, you know, radical right radio, and they're loving this. Fox News is loving it. And even people who I, you know, think would say, okay, this is not what I voted for. And again, some of that backing away is already happening, but a lot of people seem like, you know, I think they were fooled and they haven't quite been able to accept that reality yet. You know, there's this, like you said to me before, there's this club. It's a club of billionaires.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not part of the club. They think they might be maybe, but they're not.
As I say, they wouldn't let them on the grounds, let alone in the front door. we're it's like, no, you're not. no, you're not. You are somebody to be used and thrown away when you're finished being used. It is a function of lack of education. And there is so much to know. I understand that. Offside shoot, I hear all this focus on STEM. Well, guess what, guys? STEM has nothing to do with critical thinking, and that's really what we need to do right now. The only thing you should really do when you go to college is learn how to think. There's an anti-intellectual movement because they feel as if for not having that, they've been marginalized or quote-unquote victimized. Like, no, those people are paying loans. They got to work hard to do all this. They did that, you know. Like, and by the way, anybody's life in the U.S. is half the world's dream day, the worst you could have in the United States. Yeah. They would love to have that day. So a lot of entitlement, and, you know, they feel, once again, they got the 12-mile-a-gallon truck, SUV that they park in the Walmart parking lot and leave running, and then complain about the cost of groceries and gas.
Yeah.
We talked earlier about the tariffs and that kind of stuff. We don't know what the cost of anything is in this country. What a liter of gas in Europe costs is what a gallon costs here.
Yeah.
You won't see a big truck or an SUV. They do not exist. The farmers, 150 million birds depopulated and then paid for by the government. That means that egg really costs $5 a piece, and they're complaining about 50 cents or, yeah, or a buck or whatever. I don't eat eggs. I'm a vegan. Gas, all that subsidized. It's like, please, can we get rid of the subsidies and have some capitalism?
Yeah. Well, capitalism, wouldn't that be great?
corporatism.
Yeah. I got to run to a break, Mark. Really appreciate you joining us. Folks, I've been talking with Mark Klipsham.